Hi, this is Sherry Kerman of Norman Dowler, the law firm you can trust to get it right, proudly representing the people of Ventura County honestly, ethically, and with great integrity for over 50 years. Norman Dowler is among the preeminent law firms in Ventura County and has a team of dedicated professionals who consistently exceed the expectations of our clients. Legal matters are no laughing matter. When you're faced with a legal crisis, you want the best representation. Norman Dowler, 654-0911 or visit normandowler.com.
The Ventura County Healthcare Agency is proud to provide quality, cost-effective, culturally sensitive healthcare for all of Ventura County. In addition to Ventura County Healthcare Agency's two hospitals, Ventura County Medical Center and Santa Paula Hospital, the agency has 26 ambulatory care and specialty clinics, and the Ventura County Healthcare Agency provides services to every community of our county. In addition to the 50 community-based service locations, the Ventura County Healthcare Agency offers home visits and comprehensive care. Dedicated to education, prevention, specialty mental health, and acute care services, the Ventura County Healthcare Agency strives to ensure the health and well-being of all Ventura County residents, so you and your family can be well. For more information about all of the services the Ventura County Healthcare Agency offers, call 677-5272. That's 677-5272. The Ventura County Healthcare Agency, 677-5272.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Gray Matters, brought to you by the law offices of Norman Dowler. And now, your host, Sherry Kerman.
Hello, everyone. How are you this wonderful July? We are here. This is Sherry Kerman, and I am so excited. I'm here with my new co-host today, Sheila Murphy from the Ventura County Healthcare Agency. How are you doing, Sheila?
Very good.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to Gray Matters. We're going to have a spectacular month, I think.
I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's great. We're so thrilled to have Ventura County Healthcare Agency on board as our title sponsor, and we look forward to learning more about the agency as time goes on. And thank you for being part and supporting this great show.
Absolutely.
All right, we are going to just jump in today. We've got a great show. Our first guest is from the Alzheimer's Association, Mayling Elyashdanishvar. How did I say that, Mayling?
You did a very good job. Thank you.
Thank you. Woohoo! Mayling is the area director for us out here in is it Ventura County or is it larger than that, Mayling?
Our chapter covers Santa Barbara, Kern, San Luis Obispo, and Ventura counties. My office here in Ventura covers the entire, all corners of our lovely county.
That is wonderful. So, but as the area director, then you're in charge of all four of those counties, is that
correct? No. Just Ventura.
You're in charge of Ventura, which is large enough, I think.
Yes.
So welcome to the show.
Thanks.
We've spoken before, and I know it's great to be able to have you on every now and then to tell us what's going on in the chapter and in the area. And I know, Mayling, you wanted to talk about professional training.
Yes, indeed, and thank you so much for inviting me again. This is a wonderful opportunity for me to get the word out on the things that the Alzheimer's Association is always doing to try to elevate the level of care that people receive either in the home or at, you know, centers like daycare centers, assisted living facilities, board and care, et cetera, nursing homes. Mm-hmm. And today I would like to really be able to share with you some wonderful events that we have scheduled for this month, the month of July.
Really? Absolutely.
Today, and September. And it has to do with a program called the Savvy Caregiver Program, which was an initiative that the Alzheimer's Association started implementing about 3 years ago.
And it's called the, I'm sorry, say the name of it again, Mayling?
Savvy Caregiver Program.
Savvy Caregiver Program. Mm-hmm.
And we started implementing this around the country about 3 years ago with some funding from the federal government. This time around, we are going to offer it to professionals because we heard the feedback from the attendees that this information is so important that both professional as well as family caregivers should have. Excuse me. So basically, the Savvy Caregiver Program is a training program It's 12 hours for professionals. We will offer CEUs.
Perfect. And CEUs are the continuing education requirements that professional caregivers need, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. For CNAs, RNs, LBNs, et cetera,
and also professional fiduciaries?
No.
Okay.
We do not, but we do mostly for people in the medical community.
Medical community, okay.
However, we do encourage people from different areas. Like, there are some people who have signed up for these classes already who are selling long-term insurance, people
okay.
who are in law, different
absolutely.
Providers, because we all need to know the latest about Alzheimer's and how to deal with the families, how to help them. And this course basically focuses on four areas, which is how dementia affects the brain,
okay.
activities of daily living,
mm-hmm.
communication skills, and how to help families make decisions. It's a 12-hour program, and the first date is July 15th,
mm-hmm.
16th, and then the second course is going to take place on September 16th and 17th.
And so the 15th and the 16th represents 12 hours in July.
Right, it's a Friday all day, 8 hours, and then four more on that Saturday.
On the Saturday, and then September 16th and 17th.
Exactly.
And Mei-Ling, anyone, now this course, because you mentioned that originally it was for family caregivers, you're offering it now to professionals. So these two July and September dates, may family caregivers also participate in this, or is this just open for professionals this time?
This time is just for professionals, because
okay.
as I said, the association spent the last 3 years offering this to family caregivers. They loved it. We loved teaching this class.
Right.
And so now we're giving the professionals an opportunity to hear what the families heard and what they are demanding. Because one
That's
of
great.
The beauties of this is that this way we can elevate the level of care that the people with Alzheimer's and dementia receive both at home and at different facilities.
That is great. And so this is for, you said, nurses, people in the legal profession, people in insurance, anybody who's dealing with a clientele that may be suffering from Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. Is that fair enough to say?
Correct, because mm-hmm. while, you know, there have been important advances in research, in the medical community, we still have a disease that is incurable, that lasts about 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and most of the responsibility of the care falls on the families.
Right.
Now, if they cannot and they end up, you know, going to an assisted living facility or an abundant care facility, of course, they will want the best service for their loved ones, and that requires knowledge and training. I have worked for the Alzheimer's Association for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I never miss an opportunity to hear another doctor or another
person. Oh, sure.
Because we're changing the landscape as we go.
Right.
We are developing this caregiving expertise by reaching out to each other and by interacting and exchanging information.
That's great. Hey, Mei-Ling, you know, I know when you were on the show once before, we talked about it, but it's always good to have a refresher. Talk to me about the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia.
Sure. Dementia is the symptom, you know, when it's like talking about fever. Fever is the symptom of an infection in the body.
Okay.
It could be, you know, localized in the stomach or in the brain, in the ears, you know. Dementia is the symptom of a neurological disease. And it's characterized by several impairments. Memory is one of them, but only one of them. There's impairments in language, abstraction, behavioral changes, etc.
And it can be one, it can be all of these things that are affected?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
or three of those. But
mm-hmm.
In general, we describe them as five symptoms that we call dementia.
Okay.
And it could include, in the beginning, memory loss or not, even though Alzheimer's is best known for the damage, the impairment that it causes in
right.
term memory. But then, so it's not enough to know that you have fever. You have to know what is causing that fever, correct?
Right.
Same thing with Alzheimer's. With dementia. Dementia is the symptom. So you've got the symptoms. You've got problems with memory, problems with language, problems with behavior, problems carrying out a plan or going about your activities of daily living. So we need to know what is causing that. And usually it's because of Alzheimer's, which is the most common type of dementia.
Right.
But it could be because a vascular accident, like
right.
strokes,
exactly.
an accident in the brain.
And that's that is irreversible as well, is it not?
Correct. Okay. And it presents the same symptoms. So, you know, a stroke could damage an area of the brain, but then it progresses, and then you can see the same problem, and it is, you know, irreversible, as you said.
Right. I mean, there are some reversible forms of dementia. We've talked about them a lot on the show because it's important when you've got someone who's starting to exhibit, as you said, perhaps memory loss, perhaps changes in personality, things like that. It could be something really simple.
Yeah, and it could be something very sudden. Like, we get lots of phone calls from people who said, you know, my mom went into the hospital because she needed a hip replacement, and now I'm told that she's got dementia. But
right.
that's what is called the white coat dementia. Many people...
The white coat dementia?
Like and frail.
As opposed to the red coat dementia.
Right.
Well, it's called white coat because of the white coat that...
The white, that's right, the white coat that... That declared it, right.
Exactly. So a lot of people do exhibit the symptoms, but they are not demented because of Alzheimer's. They are perhaps, they have been impacted or affected by the change in routine, by the medication, the mm-hmm. anesthesia while they were in the hospital. So let's not rush to conclusions. If
right.
you suspect that somebody that you know or yourself has these symptoms, do seek advice. See your physician, your care provider, if possible, a neurologist that could determine whether this is what you're suspecting or not. As you said, it could be something simple. It could be a chemical imbalance. It could be depression. It
could be a urinary tract infection.
Exactly.
Right.
So let's be careful. Let's not rush to...
the horrible conclusion.
But if it is what you think it is, well, we will be here for the duration to help you out in... even though there's no cure for this, we do have programs and services in our community that are specifically designed to support the efforts of all families affected by this.
And what a perfect segue that is into my next question, which is tell us what the Alzheimer's Association in Ventura County provides.
We provide care consultation, which is an appointment with somebody like me or a senior consultant who will help you determine what you might need in the future, what services are available. We have support groups for the person with the disease as well as for the caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
We offer some financial assistance. For that, people need to call and submit all the paperwork, but it is available, and hopefully they'll be able to use it to go to the assisted living facility
right.
or the daycare center, or perhaps hire somebody to look after the person in the home.
Right.
We do also have this professional training and caregiver training that I was telling you about in the Safe Return Program, which is my favorite program of the Alzheimer's Association because it can potentially save a life.
Wow.
Basically, it's you enroll the person.
Uh-huh.
It's a nationwide program available in the continental USA. And basically, the information of this person and hopefully the caregiver goes into a database, and the person receives an identification bracelet.
Okay.
We also train the law enforcement,
right.
first respondents, etc. Because when a person with dementia wanders out, they do not seek and they don't exhibit any signs of distress. They don't seek assistance. They don't say, I'm lost, I'm confused. They just keep on going.
Right. Well, because oftentimes maybe they don't even realize at that point that they're lost and confused.
Exactly.
Right.
They are so disoriented. So
right.
it is important for the law enforcement and for first respondents to be aware of that so they don't, you know, they don't conduct any body search. They don't start interviewing the person. If they have information, they will very gently, you know, invite them to follow them, to go with them, or to wait until the loved one arrives, et cetera, et cetera. So it does require a community effort, and this is why it is so important for us to have access to professionals like yourself. You're always very involved with
Thank
the
you.
Association, and so is Jim. So it is important to always continue this feedback and this communication and cross-training, because we're learning from each other.
Exactly. So, Mei-Ling, how do people reach you guys here?
The phone number here, the office phone number is 805-484-6028, 484-6028. But we also have a 24/7 line where you can call at any time during the day or night.
Okay.
We pick up in, you know, we have service in 150 languages.
Oh, wow. And what's that number?
The phone number there is 800-272-3900. 800-272-3900. And the beauty of that is if you're calling during the day and we're here, we will pick up the phone. The phone will route you, you know, automatically.
To your office.
Yeah, but if we're not here, if the, you know, office is closed or whatever, it will be picked up at our call center. And the next day, we're going to get a message from them saying that you called.
And then you'll call them back.
And we will follow up.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mei-Ling, and your website, ALZ.org?
Correct.
/ California Central Coast.
That's right.
And can we find you on Facebook as well?
Yes. For those of you who are on Facebook, I'm not, but we do have, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
And there's something else that I would like to share with you.
Sure. You got another minute? Let's hear her.
Great. What we have is, you know, we do not receive any funding from the federal government, so it is very important for us to continue receiving the financial support of our community. And we will hold two walks this year, one in Thousand Oaks, October 29th, the other one here in Camarillo on October 1st.
Perfect. And that's to raise money for the Alzheimer's Association.
Correct.
So I'm sure we can find that information on the website as well, or you can call the office. And, of course, we'll have all of this up on our website, graymattersradio.com also.
Yes.
With links. Mei-Ling, thank you so much for spending this time with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and happy 4th of July.
Thank you, and happy 4th of July to you, too. We're going to stop for a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we have a very special guest, Jacqueline Marcel, who wrote a book called Elder Rage, or Please Someone Take My Father. And we're going to hear more from her in just a minute, so we'll be right back.
The Ventura County Healthcare Agency is proud to provide quality, cost-effective, culturally sensitive healthcare for all of Ventura County. In addition to Ventura County Healthcare Agency's two hospitals, Ventura County Medical Center and Santa Paula Hospital, the agency has 26 ambulatory care and specialty clinics, and the Ventura County Healthcare Agency provides services to every community of our county. In addition to the 50 community-based service locations, the Ventura County Healthcare Agency offers home visits and comprehensive care. Dedicated to education, prevention, specialty mental health, and acute care services, the Ventura County Healthcare Agency strives to ensure the health and well-being of all Ventura County residents, so you and your family can be well. For more information about all of the services the Ventura County Healthcare Agency offers, call 677-5272. That's 677-5272. The Ventura County Healthcare Agency, 677-5272.
When you're considering a reverse mortgage, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. If you're a homeowner at least 62 years of age, a reverse mortgage may help you convert your home equity to tax-free loan proceeds. Contact a reverse mortgage consultant today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Consult a tax advisor. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., is an equal housing lender. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
For more information and to find out how a reverse mortgage could benefit you, call 866-398-5638. That's 866-398-5638.
When you need legal representation, having the right team to represent you is crucial. Since 1958, Norman Dowler has helped thousands of clients with their legal matters in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Whether your case is personal injury, estate planning, probate, employment or business law, civil litigation, real estate, or family law, the attorneys at Norman Dowler offer years of expertise and knowledge. If you find yourself in need of legal representation, call Norman Dowler at 654-0911 or visit normandowler.com. The Law Office of Norman Dowler, providing legal excellence you can trust since 1958.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, or Take My Father, Please, How to Survive Caring for Aging Parents. If you're coping with caregiving now or think it is just about to befall you, you just have to read my book so you don't needlessly go through all the pitfalls that I did. It's a tough subject, but I promise laughter out loud as you learn everything you ever wanted to know about elder care but were afraid to ask. After you learn how I solved the seemingly endless crisis, I include answers to the toughest caregiving questions, tons of resources, and an enlightening chapter by a renowned dementia specialist, A Physician's Guide to Treating Dementia, which makes Elder Rage valuable for everyone from the family to the physician. I am honored that Elder Rage has received 45 prestigious endorsements, including Hugh Downs, Regis Philbin, Dr. Dina Dell, Duke University, and Johns Hopkins Memory Clinic. For more information that may change your life, please log on to ElderRage.com.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
And now, back to Gray Matters with your host, Sherry Kerman of Norman Dowler.
And welcome back, everyone. This is Sherry again from Norman Dowler. I'm here with my great co-host, Sheila
Murphy.
How you doing, Sheila?
I'm pretty good.
Good. That was interesting, wasn't it?
Very interesting.
Yeah, Mei Ling is so passionate about all of that. It's a great. We have a great chapter out here in Ventura County.
Yeah, it comes through.
She came in a few years ago to our area, and she's really just done amazing things with it. Not just not getting things out to the community, but she also does a really good job getting people in different fields together. They have every other month they have a breakfast, and they have people from all in the care community, and then there's a little presentation, and it's just an opportunity for all of us to get to know each other. It's really great. On to our next guest, Jacqueline Marcel. Jacqueline, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for being part of the show. I had the great pleasure of hearing Jacqueline speak. Gosh, I think it was a month ago now almost. Las Vegas, right?
Yeah. Yes,
at the NALA convention. Jacqueline has a very interesting personal story and wrote a book about it, but I don't want to talk about it. I want Jacqueline, you to tell us about it.
Well, let's see. life was going along fairly well, and then I had string of things happened, and you know, the relationship, the job, I was a television executive, laid off, I had to have spinal surgery, I was mugged.
Just a couple of things I had to deal with.
My parents needed help, and my mom had had a heart attack, and Dad had taken care of her for 11 years. He'd done a great job, but refusing all help, but calling me every day from San Francisco, Southern California, telling me how hard it was, and I'd fly up there, and I'd get caregivers in place for him and help him, and then he'd, you know, fire him and throw him out of the house, or they'd quit because he'd be so mean. And so here I just come through spinal surgery, and I go up there, and because I find out, I get a call that my mom is dying, and I'm like, what?
And that was was that your dad who called or something?
No, my ex-sister-in-law. I said, something's up. I don't know. Dad's telling me that he just had mom on the treadmill, and there's no way I don't think she could be on the treadmill.
Right.
He's not letting me talk to her for a couple days.
Okay.
Go up there, you know, could you go over and find out? And that's when she calls. She goes, oh, my gosh.
Is not good.
Yeah, so I did, and it was just awful. And it took, you know, what I thought would take me a month maybe to get figured out took almost a year.
Wow.
Yes.
And I'm fairly bright. And, you know, I've done a lot of things. I've coordinated, you know, it's like we've all done such amazing things in our lives, but when it comes to caregiving, sometimes you just are floundering because it's so out of your realm of what you're trying to figure out what to do, and you're begging for help with this and this.
Well, and especially when you're dealing with someone with the dementia, because I read your book, and it's a fabulous book called Elder Rage. Just a great book, and everyone needs to read it. But what was interesting, I mean, on top of all the other things that you were dealing with, I mean, your father was very adept at, when he needed to, completely mask what was really going on.
Yeah.
So you went through months and months and months of no one believing what you were really experiencing, and being told from the doctors, you know, basically get over it.
Yeah.
Stop whining.
Yeah. and that was just like, I call him Jekyll and Hyde, you know, in the book, because it was just so astonishing. Now, see, he had always had a bad temper. He'd always been Jekyll and Hyde.
Right.
This was a deeply ingrained behavior pattern that we enabled our whole lives. When he got angry and pounded his fist, we cowered and tried not to upset Daddy. But this was so ingrained, I call it addicted and trapped in his own bad behavior of a lifetime. And then with the onset of dementia, which is so subtle and intermittent, comes and goes, that his illogical ranting became over the top from what he used to do, where he would be over the top a lot, but this was like two little hand towels I threw away, and he went berserk.
And you talked about that at the conference,
Yeah,
they were pretty icky hand towels, if I remember.
They weren't going to make it through the wash machine. I bought two new ones, and you know, I'd thrown the old ones in the trash, and came home and was putting. This is the first day I was there, and you know, got groceries, and he came charging out of the bedroom. And, how dare you throw away my hand towels? And takes them out of the trash and throws them in my face, and I'm like, so shocked. I'm like, Dad, I'm so sorry. You know, I bought two new ones. They were a buck and a half.
It's not a big
deal. I thought you'd be happy.
Right, but it was horrible for him,
Yeah.
And it was probably the dementia talking.
Well, I thought, well, this is, you know, the stress of taking care of Mom all these years and, you know, being so stubborn and not, you know, allowing any help in the house. And now she's, you know, now in the hospital and almost dying from his inabilities. And, you know, me throwing away two handhelds just pushed him over the edge. Well, I think it was all that, but it was also the beginning of where this manifestation of what was a year later to be diagnosed as Alzheimer's was starting. And so if I'd only known the 10 early warning signs, if I'd only understood that illogical and irrational things that happen like that, you know, if they seem odd, they are. And not to just chalk it up, because then he would be adorable and darling and my dear dad again.
And you never knew what was going to set him off.
You just never knew. But see, we grew up like that. We never knew what was going to set him off.
So that
either.
Part wasn't illogical or unusual.
Not as.
But
I mean, I can remember as a kid with him screaming and yelling at my brother for eating the last drumstick. I mean, it was like, you know. So was this a personality disorder? Well, I think probably it was. You know, he had been orphaned at barely 10 years old. And just a horrible childhood. So when you have somebody that's, you have to be a psychologist in the trenches, and you have to go back and say, okay, what molded this person to become who they did? And what was their upbringing? And Mom would always say, you know, he was a bottomless pit for her affection because of that darn childhood where he didn't get any. And in an orphanage and, you know, no education. And so for him to do as well as he did in life and to give us a, you know, he never raged at me. I was the one that didn't get it. So I got it all in middle age.
With the dementia. And you talk about that in your book, too, how surprising that was to you. You saw the rage, but it was never directed at you, and all of a sudden it's directed at you and physically. Physically sometimes as
well. And he had never, ever been physical, and that's when I called the police for the first time in my life. You know, 911, I've never called 911. And he had dad had put his hands around my throat. He was so angry about a caregiver that we finally had. I'd gotten this caregiver, and she was doing great, and, you know, I finally got her in there, and she was going to finally move in. This is after months of, and then he decides, you know, she asked if I could get HBO for the TV, and I asked him. He said, oh, sure, no problem. Oh, nice. And then the day that's going to happen, and I, what is this HBO? I don't want this on my television. I said, Dad, you said it was okay if I did not. So he didn't remember that. And that was just a trigger, and he started throwing furniture, and, you know, thank gosh, she was next door. I had just gotten her some work next door for the people, and she heard all this screaming and yelling and pounding, and and she called and said, what's going on? Are you okay? You know,
let me ask you, Jacqueline, looking back, because I mean, you really have become, you know, an expert on all of this because you lived it. So I think you lived it so intently. You know, some Alzheimer's patients and some dementia patients, they become very sort of docile, and some become very hostile. And unfortunately, you were dealing with someone who became very hostile and had to deal with it, and you were there. You couldn't leave. Do you think that some of the triggers were because he was upset that he realized, oh, my gosh, I don't remember saying
yes,
something?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's what happens. You know, in the beginning, you have people saying, you did this, you said that, and he's like, well, and then, you know, got to the point where
it's
he's saying,
fear.
Well, I know my memory is bad, but I guess I should have remembered that. And
so what's going on?
Yeah, I think it's a fear thing that happens, and then, like I say, controlling dominant men, particularly.
Right.
I mean, I heard this from every healthcare professional once I finally figured it out. As you read in the book, every time
yeah.
they say, oh, you know,
oh,
we
for
hear
me
this all the time.
Yeah.
And then I get emails every day from people saying, oh, my gosh, we're related. My father's just like your father. You
right,
know?
Right.
And so it's not as unusual as you would think. But if someone is very controlling and dominating their whole life, and you're going to be more so that way when you get older, by and large.
Right.
And
whatever
then,
your personality traits are probably going to be exacerbated.
Yes.
Right.
And so the more so theory of aging is what it's called. So if you've got one out of every eight persons by the age of 65 getting Alzheimer's.
Right.
And nearly one out of two by the age of 85.
Wow.
The percentage of people that are going to have this disease, and then how many of them are controlling and dominating.
Right.
That may have this rage factor that comes with it. And even if you don't have dementia, there's still the frustration of, you know, aches and pains and everything from head to toe that elderly people start having problems with and going to doctors. And
right.
the rage factor can continue even before, that can be coming out before dementia even hits.
Right. Tell us some of the early warning signs of Alzheimer's.
Well, the one main one that they talk about so often, and you can get these on my website and for free print them out.
ElderRage.com.
ElderRage.com.
Yes.
Scroll down on the left to see the 10 early warning signs. These are from the Alzheimer's Association.
Right.
Who
we just
thank
interviewed.
Enough
mm-hmm.
because
yes.
that's where I finally got help a
right.
year into this. Not that I hadn't called them before. I didn't really know to even call them. You know, I'm thinking, well, he doesn't have Alzheimer's. He's always been like this.
Well, and that's, I mean, that's certainly something that you were dealing with because, like you said, you had, this was who he was.
Yes. And
this was much worse now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And all the professionals I took him to, what day is it, what time is it, who's the governor?
He
well,
knew all that.
Fine to us.
Yep.
You
yes.
know, I wasn't getting him to a dementia specialist. I didn't even know I needed a dementia specialist.
Right. And he was nice.
And he would be very charming in front of the doctor.
Right. Of course. Right.
And so anyway, the first one that you want to look for is the short-term memory loss. And I'll ask people all the time, how's your mom's memory? Oh, my gosh, she knows what they did, you know, after they went to this party in 1942.
Right.
But does she remember what she did this morning?
Right.
So that's the difference. Or they tell
the
you something
term.
And then 5-10 minutes later tell you again. Not, you know, 3 weeks later they tell you the same story. Because we all tell our stories. Did I tell you that one already?
Right, yeah. Right, right.
So it's like, gee, Mom, you just asked me that, you know, three times. Or you just told me that story, you know, mm-hmm. half hour ago. That whole big long thing about Uncle Charlie. I did? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you want to go, okay, instead of making them feel bad, they... you can turn the question around is what I always recommend. Like if they ask you the same question, like, you know, third time they ask it in a short period of time, turn the question around and ask them, gee, Mom, I forget now. What time do you think we're going to the doctor?
And so
well, I don't know, honey. That's why I
asked you. Right.
Or if she says, oh, that's right, 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, yes, yes, yes. Maybe she's nervous about the doctor's appointment.
Oh, you see,
you know.
That's great. So it's a little trick.
So it's
not
a little
just
trick.
Maybe the question is nerves. Maybe it's not forgetfulness.
Yeah, so if she
right.
knows
so
the
you
answer,
have to investigate.
Then, you know, okay, she just wants, maybe she needs to talk about that.
Right.
But if she goes, well, I don't know, that's why I've asked you.
Then
and
you
instead
know
of going,
an issue.
Mother, you asked me three times. Then if everybody knew to go, warning, warning, okay, this is a major warning sign.
Right.
And it's not going to be here this afternoon, and it won't be here tomorrow. This is, they come and they go.
Right.
And to print out those 10 warning signs, to write, put all these little odd behaviors, whenever you notice one, to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I guarantee the day that you have the doctor appointment.
Yeah. they're going to be fine.
They're going to be fine.
They're going to know everything.
So you've got to go, and you can't talk to the doctor on the phone because of the laws, privacy laws.
Right.
So you have to go with mom, with dad, whoever your loved one is, and unless you've got durable power of attorney, you got to be at that doctor's appointment to get any information out of that doctor.
Right.
So you go with, and then, you know, not in front of your mother and making her feel worse, but say, doctor, here's the warning signs. I'm very aware of what they are. I've, you know, studied this. These are the examples of the things I'm observing. I really need you to give us a referral to Dr. Smith, who I've researched, is covered by our insurance.
Right.
And he is the best neurologist who is specialized
exactly
in dementia, because
and
I think
that's really important. Yes, and that's really important. A neurologist is great, but in this situation, you want someone who specializes
in
this.
Yeah, somebody who does nothing all day but diagnose and treat this.
Right.
You are pretty darn good at it by the time this is all you do.
right.
So that's, but unfortunately, they're very few and far between. A geriatrician, you know, an MD with a specialty in geriatrics.
Right.
These are the type of people that deal with this thing, and you need an MD because you're going to need medication. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
But we are blessed to be living in a day and age when, ask your doctor if you can get to one of these specialists, because we've got four quote-unquote band-aids that in most people will help to mask the symptoms.
Right.
It doesn't slow down the progression of the disease.
Right.
It masks the symptoms.
Right.
Well, hey, if that's you or that's your mom and you can keep her independent longer.
Exactly. Then it's worth it.
It's worth it.
It's
I don't care.
It.
And people
right.
say, oh, but it doesn't work very long. Well, you know what? If that's you, and you can get 3 more months of being more cognitively with it, so you can get your stuff together
right.
and figure out, wouldn't you want it?
Absolutely.
You bet.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you might even get 3 years.
And you might even get 3 years. And the flip side of that is there's drugs out there that are being prescribed to people with dementia that are not dementia drugs.
That's right. And let me give you the names of the 4 drugs.
Yes, give us the names of the 4
drugs. And you know what? There are 100 in clinical trials.
That's great.
And so, you know, it's a gold mine. I mean, we just need one more that keeps people in that early stage even longer.
Right.
Or please, a cure.
Yes.
But, here they are. Get a pencil, and I'm going to give them to you. Write them down. Okay,
yep, and we'll put them on the website.
Mm-hmm. Is Aricept, A-R-I-C-E-P-T.
Yes.
No, I don't work for the drug companies in any way, shape, or form. The second one is called Exelon, E-X-E-L-O-N. These are all different drug companies.
Mm-hmm.
Third one is Razadyne, R-A-Z-A-D-Y-N-E. And those all work very similarly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth one works differently, a little differently on the neurotransmitters, and it's called Namenda, N-A-M-E-N-D-A.
Namenda.
Now, that one is used often by many of these healthcare professionals, dementia specialists,
uh-huh.
in combination with one of the other three.
Right, that's
but
what
this
I,
is what you ask your doctor. I'm not telling you to take medication.
No, but
just saying you need to know this,
but
so that
you
when
need
you go
to know
in there,
what to ask
and
for.
If the doctor prescribes anything but one of those 4 medications, you're not treating the dementia.
Exactly.
People say, "Oh, yeah, she's on Seroquel."
Right, and the problem that we're seeing now is that when the patients are being put on the medication, that's not this medication. That's medication for psychosis and things like that.
Yeah,
it's deadly to them.
That's
they're
right.
Twice
Haldol.
As likely, yeah, they're twice as likely to die from that kind of med, and it doesn't help the dementia.
Nope.
It's not masking it. It's not doing anything but sedating them. We call it chemical restraints, and it's bad news.
That's right.
So you really want to make sure you're in front of the right doctor who understands.
Yeah, Sherry, I'm so impressed with you.
Thank you. And thank you.
And who can
prescribe the right meds and understand what they're prescribing and why they're doing it.
Exactly. And then, you know, my dear friend of mine, we got her mom on it to slow the progression, and Kathy left it at the bedside. The doctor didn't tell her, you don't leave medication where the person with dementia.
Right.
Florence got up in the middle of the night and took a bunch, ended up in the hospital, almost died.
Almost died, yeah.
You have
they don't remember.
These.
They may not even know what it is.
They don't have any idea they've already taken it.
Right. Oh, and they may not know it's medicine.
Yes.
Depending upon where they are in the progression of
exactly.
the disease, they may think it's a Tic Tac.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's really important that you know the warning signs, you know, misplacing things in odd places, and everybody misplaces the keys. But I always say, you know, it's more like if you find the keys in the microwave. Some place you would have never put them.
Right.
Like you go, Mom, why is your wristwatch here in the sugar bowl?
Yes.
Well, I didn't put it there.
Right.
Well, okay,
Those silly bread gnomes should
give you a warning, warning, warning.
Warning, yeah.
So you write all these down. You get, you know who the right doctor is because you call the Alzheimer's Association.
Yes.
You call the area agency on aging.
Yes.
You call the hospital. You've done your research to find out who the top dementia specialists are in your area.
Mm-hmm.
You've checked your insurance to know who's covered. Mm-hmm. And then you push your primary care physician for a referral to that doctor based on those examples that you have given. Now, prior to this,
mm-hmm.
you need to get your long-term care stuff in place.
You and your estate plan, I was just going to say, too.
That's what you do.
Being an estate planning attorney, this is the time when these early warning signs are there. This is the time to get your tush into your estate planning attorney, review what you've got.
Before you have a diagnosis of dementia.
Well, the diagnosis is okay.
Well, you can't get long-term care insurance after you've got the diagnosis
okay,
of Alzheimer's.
So for insurance purposes, that's correct. From a legal standpoint, in terms of putting your documents together.
Oh, I see what you mean.
If you walk in my office and you say I've been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, that's okay. I need to make sure that you've got the capacity to do the documents.
Right.
But if you've got the diagnosis or you've got the early warning signs and you know something's going on, don't wait until it's too late. Because
it's
when I have a child come into my office and say, I need to get power of attorney over Mom, and I say, how's Mom doing? And they say, well, aside from not remembering what time it is and putting her watch in the sugar bowl, you know, it's too late. When they say, well, she'll sign whatever I ask her to sign, the answer is, signing anything.
Then they're looking into conservatorship and guardianship and all of that.
It's horribly expensive and stressful.
Nobody understands that.
Yes, exactly.
This has been my mission. This is what I lecture. This is why I try to tell people, nobody wants to plan ahead. It's all too icky to think about, and everybody's too busy.
Right.
And they wait till the crisis, and then so if they need to get into your type of a business where they mm-hmm. can get all that stuff lined up and then put it away, and hopefully they die at 102.
Right.
With, like the queen mom without any dementia.
Exactly.
In their bed, in their sleep.
Exactly.
But it's just in case that doesn't happen.
Exactly. Jacqueline, we're going to stop for a quick commercial, and then when we come back, I want to talk to you about the Caregiver Catch-22, and I also want to talk to you a little bit more about what motivated you to write the book.
Okay.
All right, so we will be right back.
Tucked away in the heart of Ventura lies a beautiful senior community called the Ventura Townhouse. As the oldest senior community in Ventura, we are proud to serve our active seniors. Located on 12 acres of wonderful park-like grounds, the Ventura Townhouse is centrally located, close to restaurants, museums, beaches, and our local community college. The staff at Ventura Townhouse is available and willing to assist you with your daily endeavors. We look forward to treating you to a free lunch during your tour to see for yourself the beauty of the Ventura Townhouse.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollar. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
Hi, this is Sherry Kerman of Norman Dowler, the law firm you can trust to get it right, proudly representing the people of Ventura County honestly, ethically, and with great integrity for over 50 years. Norman Dowler is among the preeminent law firms in Ventura County and has a team of dedicated professionals who consistently exceed the expectations of our clients. Legal matters are no laughing matter. When you're faced with a legal crisis, you want the best representation. Norman Dowler, 654-0911, or visit normandowler.com.
The Ventura County Healthcare Agency is proud to provide
provide quality, cost-effective, culturally sensitive health care for all of Ventura County. In addition to Ventura County Health Care Agency's two hospitals, Ventura County Medical Center and Santa Paula Hospital, the agency has 26 ambulatory care and specialty clinics, and the Ventura County Health Care Agency provides services to every community of our county. In addition to the 50 community-based service locations, the Ventura County Health Care Agency offers home visits and comprehensive care. Dedicated to education, prevention, specialty mental health, and acute care services, the Ventura County Health Care Agency strives to ensure the health and well-being of all Ventura County residents, so you and your family can be well. For more information about all of the services the Ventura County Health Care Agency offers, call 677-5272. That's 677-5272. The Ventura County Health Care Agency, 677-5272.
Welcome back, everyone. Sherry Kerman here with of Norman Dowler with Gray Matters, sitting in the studio with Sheila Murphy from the Ventura County Health Care Agency, our great title sponsor of this show. And on the phone, a great guest, Jacqueline Marcel. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, Jacqueline, so tell me about the caregiver catch 22.
I felt like I was...
First, say it fast 5 times.
Yeah, I couldn't leave, you know. I was like, okay, I finally got Mom home from the hospital. Took 3 months to nurse her back to health from this situation. Mm-hmm. I tried to get caregivers. Dad's throwing them out of the house. Mm-hmm. All the agencies said, we don't have anybody else we can send. Mm-hmm. Nobody will put up with him. I had to put ads in the paper, got people to come, and then people stole from us. They were on drugs. I mean, I had, oh, my gosh. So here I am. I can either walk away and leave my mother alone with my father once I brought her home.
Which will probably mean she won't survive.
He can't care for her anymore. Yeah, I had healthcare professionals say, well, you know, you've done everything. What can you do? That's her choice. You know, leave her. She'll either, you know, she'll dwindle back down to 82 pounds, which is what she was when I got there, or she'll recover again or die. And I'm like, well, I'd like to remind you that when it's your mother.
Yeah, or you.
Or you. So I had to persevere, and, you know, I love my dad. You know, he was 90% great. He had these, you know, bad temper problems growing up. But, boy, my parents have been there for me for everything my whole life.
Mm.
And so that was part of my, and I, you know, just my mom was just the most beautiful, wonderful woman. And very codependent, of course. So I persevered, and guess who I learned perseverance from? Guess where I inherited that. And so I had to go to head against my father to fight this and finally figure it out. And once I did, you know, I finally got to the right doctors, balanced the brain chemistry.
Right.
Got the diagnosis, slowed down the progression of the dementia. The depression in both parents. Huge.
Huge.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of medication, but man, I got to tell you, we are blessed to be living when we're living.
Right.
Yes. Because I saw a huge difference in them. And then the aggression in Dad was finally managed, and that wasn't easy. And I'm thinking, well, I wish we had that 50 years ago.
But I think the listeners need to understand, though, too, and to appreciate what you went through. I mean, you are from Southern California, from L.A.
Yep.
And they're up. Where?
San Francisco.
They're up in the San Francisco area.
I was there
area.
For almost a year, and I'd only taken enough clothes to go up there for about a week or two.
And they live in a...
They were in a... they bought this triple-wide mobile home when it was brand new. The park was new in their 50s.
Right.
Late 50s, 60s. And now everybody's in their 80s.
So it's a 30-year-old mobile home.
And everything's falling apart.
Right.
And, you know, he'd never allow me to do anything to it. But, you know, they always kept it up beautifully.
Right.
But now when I get there, it's like, oh, my gosh. So I'm stuck. I get the house cleaned up. I've got, you know, I finally got the right doctors. I got the brain chemistry balance. I finally get caregivers that he'll accept in place. I got the house elder-proof completely.
Right.
You have
to tell us about the Velcro.
Oh, I use Velcro and everything. You know, that's,
yeah.
That's the greatest invention.
And not just
is.
To keep things closed, but in your book you talk about putting Velcro over the on button on the microwave because the eyesight wasn't good,
you
could feel the fuzz.
I got a real simple, basic one, simplest one I could find.
Right.
But anyway, so I got this all wired. I had it all put together, and I was like, oh, all I need is some, you know, help to keep them at home because here all this time I wasn't, you know, making any money a whole year. Can you imagine my draining of my funds?
Right.
And, you know, we went through their money and then, you know, applying for Medicaid, Medi-Cal in California.
Right.
And I was like, somebody told me, I said, well, how does that work? You know, I didn't know anything about this stuff.
Right, right. And that's a plight we hear all the time.
Yeah,
it's overwhelming.
You know, I made good money as a television executive. My parents were set, you know, with when they retired and everything they thought. And, well, we burned through that really quick. And then, so I applied, and boy, oh boy, what a... I was so shocked to find out it wasn't going to help to keep them at home.
Because Medi-Cal is for skilled nursing.
Yes, for going,
which is a real issue, and I think that we need to really revamp that. Because
yes, I was like, but why? I mean, I
right.
finally got the caregivers in place. I got everything figured out.
Right.
And I got them in adult daycare, which was just the biggest blessing of
right.
all.
And it was, but you got both of them there.
And I have both of them there mm-hmm. full time, you know, mm-hmm. every day. And mm-hmm. I had it all, and I was just burning through the money, like, you know.
Right.
And so, but I said, I don't want to put them in a nursing home, and they would be separated, you know. She needs complete 24/7 oxygen and
right.
everything, and Key would be, you know, in another building across the street. I said, That's not going to happen. I did all this to keep them together.
Right.
That's the only thing that's keeping them going.
Right.
And they said, well, you can get a little from in-home support services.
Right.
And but they didn't tell me that for about 3 months.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, why didn't anybody tell me about that? I didn't ever heard that.
Yeah.
So then, oh, but that was a nightmare. We got just a pittance. You know, they don't pay for 24/7.
No.
And so it was just like, well, how many minutes does it take for you to take her to the bathroom? I said, what are you? Wow. Minutes? You had to allocate your minutes.
You had to allocate your minutes.
And so I was just, you know, I got a very little amount from that. So it really cost a fortune for their care for 5 years like this.
And having, and is there anything in hindsight, now that you are this great expert,
yes.
what could you have...
I'd only known then what I know now.
Right. What could you have done maybe to help financially?
I would have gotten long-term care insurance in place. I would have called you up, Sherry, and said, help me!
Help me!
I would have called you and said, I've got to get long-term care insurance on my parents. I see the writing on the wall, and I've got to have something that's going to cover the caregivers that will come into the home, all
right.
levels of care.
Right.
And I'm sure you talk about that on your show all the time, of what that entails. But, you know, that was the first thing I wish I had done. The second thing was, if I'd only known the 10 warning signs, I would have recognized this so much sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have wasted all that time with all these different doctors mm-hmm. and social workers and nurses and therapists that came to the house, you know, to work with Mom after I brought her home.
Right.
And, I mean, it was astonishing that nobody mentioned dementia to me all this time. I didn't, you know, I just didn't even know the difference between dementia, you know, being just a big umbrella term, and Alzheimer's one type. There were other type of dementias. I didn't know senility. I just thought that's just something that happens.
Right.
There's no education whatsoever.
You had to learn how to also how to address and how to cope with the personalities, and the behaviors.
And nobody taught me any of that. You know, so here I'm, you know, the instinct is to use logic and reason.
Right.
And try to say, but Dad, you know, why are you standing over the washing machine and then see there's no clothes in there? Why are you standing over it? And, you know, and you forget logic and reason.
Right.
And if somebody had taught me that, it would have saved me a fortune in Kleenex, sorry.
Yeah,
because I was going to the bathroom.
But think about all the people who had stock in Kleenex.
Oh, yes. I would have cried. I cried my heart out.
Yeah.
You know, all the time.
Yeah,
and thinking, my gosh, you know, he's getting so old. And he's, instead of going, okay,
something's going on.
Dementia.
Here we right.
Oh, Dad, did I tell you there's a program on TV, a NASA, about going to the moon again?
Deflect, right.
Deflect, you know, redirect.
Redirect, right.
You know, anything, distract and redirect is one of the techniques that I teach.
And these are all the things that you talk about in your book.
Yes,
and
things
so,
I wish I'd known.
Right, and so you wrote your book because?
If I'd only been able to read my own book, I would have been saved a year of my life, my parents' life savings, and much of my own.
Wow.
And my own health, because I got, my immune system was so shot, I got breast cancer.
Right.
no history of breast cancer, any kind of cancer in our family, anywhere.
Right.
And so they say, well, we don't know what causes breast cancer. Well, I'll tell you.
Right.
Yeah. My immune system, you know, we all have cancer cells in us. We all are exposed to carcinogens, and you either fight it off or you don't.
Right. And you think you were just so worn down.
I was catching every cold, every flu, I was sick the whole time I was with them because of the stress.
Right.
And I was wearing a mask, and they weren't catching anything compared to me.
Right.
And I'm
right.
37 years younger.
Right. Well, because of the because of the stress we hear about that all the time. It's the caregiver syndrome. It happens all the time. And when you have a spouse taking care of a spouse, the well spouse dies.
Yes, that happens
quite often.
The statistic that, you know, you have a 63% higher chance of dying than your peers if you're a caregiver in a stressful situation.
And you can see it.
And I thought, when I first read that statistic, that can't be. That's ridiculous. And then a year into it, I said, that statistic is too low.
That's what I was going to say. Only a 63% chance higher?
You know, because I'm telling you, 5 years of that, and then just managing every detail of their life. But I had it all wired. It took me a year, and I got it wired.
Right.
And that was the whole thing. I solved it. I made it manageable, and I could have done it if I'd known then what I know now. So everybody says, when are you going to write another book? We love your book. And I said, no. I put everything in there I want people to know.
Exactly. And
I didn't write it to become a writer and an author. And, you know, I wrote it to affect change.
Change, right. And we can find that book at elderrage.com.
Mm-hmm.
And also on Amazon, because it's a Kindle book as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which I always point out because that's how I like my books.
Yeah, isn't that amazing now?
Yeah.
It's available on Kindle or the Nook.
The Nook, right. So,
and it's in all the bookstores.
And it's in all the bookstores. It's really a great book. It's such a serious, important topic, and you managed to put levity into it without making it seem silly.
You can't cry constantly.
Right.
You can't. You have to have humor in it. And I didn't plan that. It just came out of me that way.
Well,
and I give credit to Dad because he had the best sense of humor.
The best sense of humor.
So we grew up laughing a lot, too.
Jacqueline, thank you. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was such a delight to meet you over at the NALA conference.
Yes, that was great, and it was a delight to meet you as well. And sadly, that is the end of our hour.
No,
told you it would go fast, huh, Sheila?
It does.
It goes very quickly.
Thanks.
So all of this will be up on our website as well, and the podcast in case anyone wants to listen to this great interview again. I think lots of things to learn, and I want to thank everybody. Have a great, safe 4th of July.
Yes, happy 4th.
And we will see you back here next week on Gray Matters. Thanks a lot.